Hello and welcome to Bingeworthy, a podcast dedicated to telling you which of these many dozens of streaming shows that are being thrown at you each week and month are worth your time and attention. Hosted by myself, Mike D'Angelo, and today I get to talk to you about a couple of shows, actually, which are currently streaming on Showtime or Showtime Anytime or Paramount Plus with Showtime, whichever way you get Showtime. Those shows are George and Tammy, Waco the Aftermath, because my guest today is the wonderful Michael Shannon. On George and Tammy, Shannon plays the famous country singer George Jones alongside Jessica Chastain, who plays Tammy Wynette. The show documents the passionate and tumultuous relationship at the center of some of the most beloved country duets of all time. Then there's Waco and Waco the Aftermath. In both, Michael Shannon plays FBI negotiator Gary Nessner and tells the true stories of the disaster at Waco with the Branch Davidians and also the events that followed in Waco the Aftermath. All three shows, George and Tammy, Waco, and Waco the Aftermath, are very, very much worth your time. All are fascinating shows based on true events, and we get to dig into all of them with Michael Shannon here. And if that's not enough, we also talk about The Flash, which he's also in this summer, Jeff Nichols' The Bike Riders, which he has coming up this year, even his directorial debut, Eric LaRue, that is debuting soon at Tribeca. In my opinion, you can never have too much Michael Shannon, so I am very, very happy to hear we're getting so much of him this year. But before we get to my chat with Michael Shannon, I've got to tell you that Bingeworthy is a part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes the Playlist Podcast, The Discourse, The Rogue Ones, Yellowstoners, Deep Focus, The Fourth Wall, and more. We can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Anchor FM, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Follow, like, subscribe, drop us a rating on any of those as we greatly appreciate it. Or just head on over to the Mothership, which is theplaylist.net for film and TV news and interviews and reviews and more. As a reminder to our listeners, you can stream all episodes of George and Tammy and the first season of Waco now on Showtime Anytime or Paramount Plus with Showtime. Waco the Aftermath has two episodes out now and is releasing new episodes each week. Okay, here's my chat with the hugely talented and very kind Michael Shannon. Mr. Shannon, how the heck are you?
Oh, fantastic. Yourself?
I'm doing very well. I appreciate you taking the time today. I have been on a Michael Shannon-a-thon since I heard about, you know, that I was doing this interview. Been watching Waco the Aftermath, George and Tammy. I've gotten a lot of stuff in this past week. So,
oh, dear Lord, God bless you.
Yeah, yeah. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I went back and filled in some of the gaps with the movies as well. Yeah. So when I was looking over your filmography, there are so many projects I adore. You know, you've just been working steadily since the early 90s. So I'm curious, because there could be an argument for many things, what do you personally consider like your big break in the business where it went from this is a good living to something's going on here?
Big break. I don't know. I mean, I'm a real kind of like tortoise in the tortoise and the hare, you know, like slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah.
It's hard to point to a specific. It was so incremental. Everything was so incremental. I mean, honestly, the first time that I kind of felt a little overwhelmed by what was going on was when I moved out to L.A. in 1999, and my manager was getting me in to meet, like, Jerry Bruckheimer. And I remember auditioning for Pearl Harbor and thinking, there's no way. I mean, this is ridiculous. And then next thing I knew, I was in Hawaii, running around trying not to get blown up by the Japanese. And so that was pretty heady experience, you know, because that's like Hollywood. Like that's straight up the Hollywood. You're in Hollywood now, baby.
And especially that one, you got the full Michael Bay experience on that one.
The Michael Bay experience. I'm surrounded by, you know, hot young stud movie stars. And then, you know, when I went to do Kangaroo Jack in Australia, that was the most money that anyone had ever paid me to act ever. It was an extraordinary for me amount of money. So for someone who like had spent years and years, like, I mean, when I started acting, I didn't get paid anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I did it for free for years. And then you get like little day player roles, but they don't pay you much to do that. So yeah, I guess that's when I started to think, wow, this is, it's just, I didn't see it coming. I didn't anticipate it. I didn't think, and it wasn't even necessarily my ambition. Like, I want to be a movie star and make a lot of money. Like, I was just acting.
Yeah. Now that you've had more success and, you know, you can be more selective if you want, you're not just hunting for a job. What makes you consider a project? Because a lot of people will hunt directors that they really admire or writers they really admire, creators, whatever it is. You have such a varied career where it's like, I don't know what he's hunting. Is he just hunting variety? What exactly are you looking for?
Every project has its own reason. A lot of it's the people that I'm working with, most things. Like, I won't lie, like George and Jamie was because Jessica said, Mike, we should do this. It's been too long, since Take Shelter. And I adore Jessica, and she was right. Like, I was nervous about trying to play George Jones. I mean, the same way I was nervous about playing Elvis Presley, or, these are iconic, beloved artists, and it's really intimidating to do that. But Jessica said, "Come on, it's scary for me too, but we'll get through it together." And so I was like, "Well, that's a good argument," and so I did it. Or with Waco, I really admire the Dowdle brothers. I admire what they're trying to do with the show, frankly. To bring this back into the consciousness of people, and to kind of illustrate how there might be something more to learn from these events, that it's worth re-examining this in order to illuminate some of the struggles we're having nowadays as a country.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can see some of the origins of what's going on today in some of the Waco stuff. And I was alive then, but I was a kid. So I didn't remember exactly what happened. I don't know that we really knew outside of like these insider like books that the series is based on what really happened because we were told so many different stories that you just like I watching it as like a father, as a human being, it's just tragic. And you don't realize how much, you know, certain events are tied. I know the aftermath is airing now, so I won't really say where it goes. But if you know history or you know what happened, you know what happened. I didn't realize how tied in they were. Was the original idea just to get the awareness out there, the story out there, that kind of thing?
Well, there were two impetuses for the show in the first place, the first Waco series, and I think it was two books. And now, this as far as I know, one by the fellow I play, Gary Nesmer. He has a fascinating book called Stalling for Time. And then one of the Branch Davidians, David Thibodeau, I believe he has a book as well. So yeah, the series that the first series John and Drew made, it was kind of an amalgamation of those two points of view and some other research they did. Yeah, I think I can only speak with any authority about Gary's side of it, because I've actually become pretty close with Gary, and we've spent a lot of time together. And Gary's like, I would love it if they just kept going through my book and take, because Waco is just one chapter in his book, and he's had so many extraordinary experiences. And again, you can see the connections. They don't all seem like isolated incidents. You can see how it's like this quilt of resentment that is laying on the bed of our country, and so we might get into that if this aftermath does all right. We might try and do another one. I don't know. That's really up to the doubters,
Yeah, it's really interesting because it's such a different, they're so different. Like the first Waco series and the aftermath is really different. And I'm sure if you kept doing them, they could be completely different stories. Was the plan always to come back, or did this just pop up out of nowhere?
I mean, it was, honestly, I think one of the main things you have to credit with the creation of Waco, the aftermath, is the, I guess during COVID, the first Waco series kind of became quite popular. I'm not sure what the exact term for it, but it was like trending or something on Netflix, or it was like a COVID show. It was like, because when it first came out, I think it had moderate success, but it definitely wasn't like some big fat juicy hit or something. But then it caught a wave, and then And when that happened, I think the studio and stuff was like, "Oh, we, you got any more of this?" And the Dattles were like, "Well, as it happens, yes, we have some ideas." And so that's what, but it wasn't a given, no.
Interesting. Jumping over to George and Tammy, because that's pretty fresh on my mind as well. It's fantastic. Your performance as George Jones is fantastic. The singing's fantastic. I
Thank
know
you.
you and Jessica did your own singing. I know you've been in bands before. You play music. Was the plan always to do your own singing? And were you comfortable, jumping into that voice as George Jones, or did that take a little while?
For me, I felt it was imperative that we do our own singing. I felt like if we didn't do our own singing, there wouldn't be a show. I thought it would just be a hollow kind of exercise because a lot of the story is in the song. And a lot of their relationship, the best part of their relationship, the apex of their relationship is them singing together, is what they feel and what happens to them when they sing together. And if we were lip syncing that, we wouldn't have known what that was. We wouldn't even know what it was. So I was like, look, I may not sound like George Jones, but I've got to really be singing. And not only do I really have to be singing, but if it doesn't sound perfect, that's okay. Like, I don't want it to be me singing with like a lot of auto tune or gimmick or like gizmos on it. Or like there was this notion at one point of like blending voices. I'm like, no. No, it's got to be my voice, and it's got to be, I mean, and I give Rachel Moore, our music producer, a lot of credit because she did a heck of a lot of work to make the best versions of these performances that could be in the show, which requires an excruciating amount of work, going through all the takes and combing through everything. But she did an amazing job. But yeah, I was like, this has got to sound real. It's got to sound real because we're asking people to go on a very difficult journey with us, and we can't fake it, because if we're faking it, what's the point? We'd be better off just not doing
Yeah. And you also had Georgette there to
it.
kind of lend to the authenticity of it, Tammy and George's daughter. What did
Yeah,
that
I mean, that's as
provide
close
for
as you're
you?
going to get to George and Tammy nowadays is Georgette. I mean, she's I mean, I hate to refer to a actual human being this way, but she's like the talisman to George and Tammy, like she is the
Did she ever
she
let
is
on if
their
they reconciled more than what was on the show?
George and Tammy deeply, deeply loved each other up until the bitter end.
Yeah.
I
I
mean,
meant just Georgette and George too.
oh yeah. Yeah, I think they got on all right by the end of it.
Yeah.
I mean, she definitely seems like she's made her peace with it. Yeah. She's a really kind, gentle person. I mean, as much as, I didn't spend 24/7 with her or
Of
anything,
course.
but the time I did spend with her, I was really impressed by how together she seemed, considering the situation she had to deal with as a kid.
I do also have to mention while we're here, I mean, The Flash is one of my most anticipated of the year. I love Man of Steel. The 89 Batman is like one of the most seminal movies of my life. I love The Flash, and I love that you're coming back for Zod. Did you have any hesitance coming back for him? And is your Zod kind of the same guy, or is he a different kind of Zod that we're seeing in this?
I was hesitant because I wasn't really happy about what happened to Zack Snyder and that whole deal. And
Yeah.
I really love Zack. And back to the first question you asked me, like the fact that Zack asked me to play that part to begin with, that's really probably the biggest surprise of my career. I mean, it almost felt like a practical joke. I was like, you're kidding me, right? You want me to do? He's like, yeah. And so that I was uncomfortable, like, but I talked to Andy about it, and I liked Andy, and I said, Andy, look, I just want to get Zach's blessing on this because it just doesn't feel right without that. And Zach, to his credit, was very understanding, and he gave me his blessing, and then I went to do it. And I love Andy too. I love working with Andy. He's, they're both super creative guys. Have a lot of Andy's an amazing artist. He would just make these drawings when I was sitting there talking to him. I'd look over and say, hey, can I keep that? He's like, sure, sign, give it to me. But you know, it's just real different. You know, these kind of multiverse situations, the story's a lot more all over the place, you know? And I really exist as like, I feel like I mainly exist in the Flash as like an obstacle to, or a problem, you know? Whereas in Man of Steel, it was more of a story, you know? Like the Flash is definitely about the Flash, as it should. So it's not as in depth, I guess.
You also have Eric LaRue coming up. You have the Bike Riders coming up. Those are really two anticipated movies for me. What can you
Oh yeah.
talk or tease about those? I know Eric LaRue is your directorial debut, school shooting aftermath kind of movie with Judy Greer, Alexander Skarsgård. Bike Riders is obviously Jeff Nichols. So I always love what you guys do together.
Yeah, well, I finally directed a movie, and it's called Eric LaRue, and it's gonna premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival on June 10th. And
Congrats.
thank you. Hopefully we'll get a distributor out of that. We don't have one currently, but fingers crossed. We'll see. I'm really counting the days, actually. I'm really interested to see this movie with the audience. I haven't been able to do that yet. I've seen it with like a handful of friends and colleagues, but I've never just seen it in the world doing what I feel like it's meant to do. And yeah, it's about the parents of a school shooter, and how they're dealing with life in the wake of, you know, Eric's their only child, and then he goes to prison, and they're home alone with each other, and they're like, what the heck just happened, you know, and trying to figure out how to go on with life in that, in the wake of that event. So, and then Bike Riders is I feel like it's a real departure for Jeff. Jeff's never really made a movie like Bike Riders. I think for fans of Jeff, you're in for a real treat, because first of all, he's never really made, I want to make sure I'm not screwing this up. Yeah, he's never really made an urban movie, a movie, you know, outside of the southern kind of mid, you know, that kind of region he's from, you know, that Arkansas, you know, this is a movie about a bunch of motorcycle riders in Chicago. It's kind of like when Scorsese made The Age of Innocence or something. Like, what? That's cool. And I think it's gonna have a real different kind of style and rhythm and look to it than anything he's made.
Nice.
I'm not in it a lot. I'm
Okay.
not one of the main people. The main people are Tom Hardy and Austin Butler, and a wonderful actress named Jodie Comer.
Love Jody.
Yeah, so they're the kind of main trio there.
Wonderful. Did you get to talk Elvis at all with Austin?
We got it out of the way pretty fast. I think everybody was anticipating it. It was a very short conversation. I said, man, you were amazing. He's like, yeah, yours was cool too. I said, all right, see you later. That was it. Yeah. But man, he's a sweet kid. God, I love that kid. Awesome. What a sweetheart.
Very talented, as are you. I went over time with you here, but I just want to tell you how much I appreciate it, how much I'm looking forward to seeing all the stuff you got coming out within the next year or so. But George and Tammy's excellent. Waco and The Aftermath are excellent. Great job
Thank
all
you.
around.
Thank
Thank you
you,
so much
Mike.
for your time.
Appreciate you, man.
Likewise. All right. Bye, everybody.
Thanks.